The city powerhouse has no room for more diesel engines, but it's seeing more requests for power. What ideas do you have for addressing this problem in the future? Up first, Mr. Fitch, you have 2 minutes.
Well, the city powerhouse is probably what I'm most familiar with since I worked there for so long. And yes, there is room there for another diesel engine, but it's the permitting from the EPA that's the issue. Currently the city powerhouse is doing an air quality study just to be able to allow to operate two small engines that are in the building next door. I think that the first thing we need to do is to connect to the other major players in town, Unice and Alyeska and Westward, to have a common grid. It's that or we're going to have to build another power plant. The second thing to do would be to put in a flywheel that acts as a large capacitor, so when the crane is running and the new crane that's going to be installed run, we don't have large spikes in the power that require the city power plant to have to run additional engines just to accommodate for those spikes. Then after that, we need to put in a large battery bank. And none of these things are cheap. But a large battery bank would, if an engine failed, it would hold the system up for a couple of minutes until another engine could come on. Currently, during peak times, they're running three engines. It leaves you one left, and that's not very good, because if you have a maintenance problem or something just happens, then you're in bad shape. But the first thing to do would be to hook everybody up as a grid. That's
Thank you. Mr. Triani.
I don't have the luxury of working in a powerhouse for 27 years, so I can't answer that right now, so I'm gonna have to get back on that. Thank you.
And Councillor LeClaire.
Yes, and I thank Mr. Fitch for that his response, because those are the things that council has been looking at, and some of those things have been suggested and we have considered them. And I do agree, nothing that we do that deals with energy is cheap. You know, recently I was looking at Sandpoint. They have wind turbines. I'm a firm believer that we need to look at our resources, what we have, and consider the different things. When we went to DC, we were advised that wind turbines could be a possibility in Unalaska, that some of them can withstand. They're being designed to deal with 80 to 100 gust winds. As a city, we need to continue to look in the infrastructure we have and listen to the recommendation of the folks that actually run the powerhouse, and also tie into a common power grid. Again, the key word here is working together with industry, as a city, as council, and community, giving each other support so we can achieve and develop. The cost is not going to be easy, it's not going to be cheap, but if we work together and tie everyone into a common grid, the cost will be less expensive. Thank you.
Thank you. And we have another caller question directed towards Councillor LeClaire. At the August 30th special session of the City Council, you indicated that you had not seen a memo provided in the packet before the meeting. How can you make informed decisions for the community if you're not reading the information provided to you? 2 minutes.
Number one, there was a memo that was sent out in concerning to communication, and it was not part of my packet. It was printed and it was not delivered to me. There was not decision made on any specific memo on that date. There was things that were read and that were stated, but it did not lead to anything that we needed to take a decision on.
Thank you. And a caller question for Mr. Triani. As a member of the ILWU, what is your take on a preferential use agreement for Matson Lines? Do you support it? Why or why not?
For a preferential use agreement for the city, I believe that it would be a good idea, just not at this time. There's, you know, the dock's not done being built, so they're not gonna know how the dock space is gonna work. And I think if you wait and not just offer it to one company and see if you can get more than one company with the dock space that they'll have for use agreement, then I think that the city would better off be able to capitalize on the dock space. Thank you.
Thank you. A caller question directed to everyone. The recent incident with outgoing city manager Dave Martinson showed present council members relied solely on information supplied by Mayor Frank Kelty to make decisions without personally verifying the information or reaching out to the city manager. For the challengers, how would you have handled the situation differently? And then for the incumbent, would you handle the situation differently should it come up again? Up first, we will have Councillor LeClaire.
As a council member, I wouldn't handle anything differently. Mr. Martinson asked and wished for us not to disturb him and to honor his grievance at that time, and we did and followed that through. When Mr. Martinson returned, council did try to reach out, but again, we were advised that he was not ready to speak with us. We did have special meetings to discuss the task at hand, and again, council has done everything right by the book, and I would not do anything different today. If there's anything that I would change, I would ask the individuals that came in to actually ask questions of council and listen to council, because I've always said there's two sides to every story, and at the end, the truth eventually will be made aware of. And like I said, you have access to our emails, and everything there is in black and white, and everything that I have said, I have put in writing, and I stand behind every decision and every statement that I have made as a council member.
Thank you. Mr. Fitch?
I think that the council acted appropriately in the dealings with Mr. Martinson. I think there was probably some miscommunications that went on there. And a lot of the meetings were executive sessions because they had to do with someone's personnel and employment, which isn't something that you just do in a regular session. And if there's any problems there, then that's why the city hires an attorney. So I think that although it's a sad state, I think that the city council acted appropriately.
Thank you. And Mr. Triani.
Can you please repeat the question?
I absolutely can. The recent incident with outgoing city manager Dave Martinson showed present council members relied solely on information supplied by Mayor Frank Kelty to make decisions without personally verifying the information or reaching out to the city manager. How would you have handled the situation differently?
Well, if I'm sitting up there as a city council member and that is my one employee and I hear something about him from somebody else, I'm not gonna base my facts solely on an email. I'm probably gonna go straight to the source and talk to my city manager, in which he's my employee, and figure out what's going on and ask him his side of the story. Thank you.
Thank you. The Unalaska Public Library is planning to renovate its building or possibly expand. In your opinion, should that be a priority for the city right now? And what kind of resources would you devote to the project? Up first, Mr. Triani.
Can you please repeat the first part of the question?
The Unalaska Public Library is planning to renovate its building or possibly expand. In your opinion, should that be a priority for the city right now? And what kind of resources would you devote to the project?
Well, yes, I believe it's something that's important to the city right now. I mean, all of our children and us adults all go to the library to use their resources. It's a wealth of information. And what the resources that I would throw at it, I would try and get some federal funding or some grants, maybe some state funding for if education could tie into the library. And I would devote some of our savings to help renovate that building. It's very important to this community. You're able to go and get books and magazines and movies. So thank you.
Thank you. Councillor LeClaire.
City Council currently have budgeted $30,000 for the planning of a potential renovation. Is it something that's needed in our community? Yes. Our community is growing. There's more children and there's more resources available. The current space at sometimes can be crowded. I recently visited the library and looked at some of the resources that they have brought in. They have expanded in bringing different languages. Now you have different, more books. You have a section in Tagalog and you have a full Spanish section that in prior days, 16 years ago, you didn't have that. As of today, the library is incorporating and trying to meet the needs of our community. They're hoping to incorporate other languages that in other communities and nationalities that are represented here. Is it our priority when it comes to our education, the resources available, and the fact that this is the one building that has yet to be renovated or considered for renovation? I think that we do need to look at it and support the library. All of our children benefit from it. People that come go to the library, community members. My family, my 12-year-old lives in the library. We currently have, I don't know how many books and how many videos at hand. And I know that a lot of the kids walk from school to the library, and that's where they do their homework. They get on the internet and they research their science homework, different things that that they need to research. So yes, I believe that as a council member, I've always supported the library, and I will continue to support the library, and council currently supports the renovations for the library.
Thank you. Mr. Fitch.
I believe that the library has a priority, but at this time I think our greater priority is our water and our power needs, our landfill. Without those things, more people will leave, and then we won't need so much of a library. It's an important feature. I remember when the library used to be a little area in this building, and it's grown quite a bit. And I'd like to see a larger library. I go there all the time, but I think our greater needs are more needs that have to do with just being here and living here. Power, water, sewer, and our landfill is in a terrible shape. It needs to get corrected.
Thank you. Do you anticipate having any conflicts of interest if you're elected or re-elected to the City Council? If so, what are they, and how do you plan to address them? Mr. Triani, you have 2 minutes.
No, I really don't believe that I have any conflicts of interest. Thank you.
Councilor LeClaire?
I will continue to do as I have. Whenever there's been a conflict of interest, I bring it forward, and I ask myself to be excused from voting on the topic at hand.
And Mr. Fitch?
I don't have any conflicts of interest. I'm retired, so that's...
Thank you. How would you educate yourself on the missions and roles filled by each local nonprofit so that you can fully understand the organization's purpose come time for the community grant application process? Or for the incumbent, how are you already doing that or seeking to improve your ability to do that? Up first, Mr. Fitch.
Well, I think that if I was elected to the City Council, I would probably try to attend all the board meetings from all the nonprofits that I could. In the past, I don't do that. Quite frankly, I don't go to them. But if the need was there, I have the time. And how else are you going to learn about them but to go there and see what they do? And that's probably what I would do, but to participate more.
Thank you. Mr. Triani.
If I was elected, I would definitely get involved in the different nonprofit organizations that we have around here, sit down with the chairperson, have some conversations on what their outlook is for the year, and decide funding from the city from there. Thank you.
And Councilor LeClaire.
As a council member, we have supported, and I have supported all the nonprofit. In the one times that I did not support their funding 100%, I took the time to actually sit down, and one of them was KUCB, and I sat down and I spoke with PIPA. After I spoke with her and I expressed some of my concern and some of the community members' concern, she addressed them, and I was able to come back and support them 100%. And also there was from the Divers Association, the first year I did not support their $10,000 request for the simple fact that they did not have all the information provided. When we're looking at the grants available to communities and to the nonprofit, we want to hear from the individuals. We want to see how it applies to our community. We want to see them be open about everything that they do. And I commend USAFE. They have always provided that information. KUCB has, all of them have, CBB. As council members, we will ask information if it's not in the packet. I will continue to support the nonprofit. The last round that we did for support, I did support the Divers Association. And I did that after speaking to Ms. Wood and understanding, and Roger Defendo as well, understanding where they're coming from, and also realizing that the University of Fairbanks were funding them, and it was becoming more of an educational process. So as a council, I go out and I talk to individuals involved with that nonprofit organization. I take the time to sit down and voice out the concern, the reason why I'm hesitant to fund them, where that information came from, and it's usually by community members. And when I speak to them and I have a full understanding, I am confident to go back to the community member and say, hey, I spoke to them, this is where they're coming from, and as a council member, I think this is a good and I'm gonna move forward on it. And I'm proud to say that the last couple of years, nonprofit organizations are founded by council. As a council member, I also believe that we also need to help the nonprofit organizations. How can we empower them to help them find other means of resources as well? Thank you.
We have time for just a few more questions for these city council candidates. So if anyone has one that they're thinking about, please, now is the time to send it to us. 581-1888 or candidates@kucb.org. If anyone in the live audience would like to, now would be the time. Wonderful, please come up. Absolutely.
If you were elected, what attributes would you look for in a city manager?
Perfect. Thank you so much. Mr. Triani, you're up first.
Attributes I would look for is a strong leader, somebody that's honest, somebody that can give directive and ensure that the directives that he's given are being done in a timely manner. Thank you.
Thank you. Councilor LeClaire?
I would look for someone that is the best fit for our community, someone that is honest, that it has an open line of communication, someone that can actually look at council and stand together in unity, working together as one, someone that is a team player that encourages and empowers their individual department, someone that encourages the folks that they represent, the folks that they employ, someone that would actually stand up and be that leader that the community needs, someone that takes directive from city council, someone that provides feedback, someone that listens to the fact that community is speaking through council, and when we sit up there, we are expressing the voice of the city council, someone that the community can stand together, because the key for council to elect a city manager is always looking for that component, working for our community, what they bring to the table, and I think it's important for us to consider every attributes, their leadership skills, their honesty. Can they follow through their given task? They're honest when they provide information. And just an open person that you can actually sit down and have a conversation with. Thank you.
Thank you. And Mr. Fitch.
I look for somebody who is experienced and someone who'd spent a lot of time in rural communities and someone, just like Udelka said and Jeff, that someone who's honest, that will allow the people that work for them to do their jobs and not try to do their jobs for them. Someone who's informative and comes to the council and presents the things that are going on to the city and be open and honest.
Thank you. And thank you for posing a question. Brian, you have one? Come on up, please.
Hi. I'm a member of a statewide group called Alaska Youth for Environmental Action, and we have a chapter here at the school. And so my question was, I got on my phone right here, what are your plans for starting and or advancing environmental projects here in the city, such as projects related to marine debris, alternative energy, recycling, or carbon emissions? Thank you.
Thank you. Councilor LeClaire, you're up first.
Currently, the city as a whole has been looking at some of the concerns in the landfill. The recycling program has gone away. I believe it's crucial for not only council member, but the city administration to work together with organizations that are available and that are growing our community. There's different sectors in our community that are working towards some of the environmental issues that we're facing today. And I think it's crucial for us as a city to work together. Is there funding available? You better believe there is funding available. Is whether or not we're willing to put the time and effort to work together to bridge the gap between what's happening with our water system, what's happening in the landfill, what's happening with all the different debris that are appearing in our waters. So working together, I think it's important, and listening to youth mentors that are coming forward and voicing out and embracing them and saying to them, how can we, it's not so much what can you do for us, but how can we support you as a whole?
Thank you. Mr. Fitch?
One of the things we could do is to utilize the heat from the city power plant and heat all the apartment buildings up behind it, thereby lowering the use of fossil fuel quite a bit. The landfill, yeah, it needs to be done. They need to do the recycling out there, even though it's not going to be cheap. We need to recycle. We need to put in some sort of a incineration or gasification plant to reduce the other garbage that we can't recycle. And one of the things we could do would be to require the stores to take a deposit on plastics and recycle them, take them back out, they bring them in. Wind power, we need some wind power. Cut down our fossil fuel. Breathing is really important to me. And so all the fuel that we burn in that powerhouse down there, we could cut some of it down. But we need to utilize the heat. And then you could take the money that you got from selling the heat, put it back into the electrical utility to help pay for the electric, the power plant.
Thank you. And Mr. Triani.
I believe that, you know, last year I mentioned in my, for my campaign that I was wanting to revamp the recycling program here in Unalaska. I've contacted a few people to try and come up with a nonprofit organization and to be able to come up with a board of directors to be able to get the recycling program started. I believe that there's, you know, talk for the 2020 to 2030 comprehensive plan about maybe coming up with some funds and looking into an incinerator out at the city dump and being able to harness energy off the heat of the incinerator of burning the garbage, and also going back in and digging back up the old dump cells to be able to get rid of that waste. And there's also talks, I believe, through the city council that they've had to take the stuff from the wastewater that's filling up the dump at a rapid speed and start making compost to be able for the community members to be able to use. And there's definitely a lot of good things that are happening with the with waste. Thank you.
Thank you. And we have time for one more caller question directed at Councillor LeClaire. You have repeatedly referred to your emails as public record. Since city council members do not have city email addresses, can you please state your email address for everyone? Secondly, can you explain how your emails can be considered public if it is not an official city council address?
Well, number one, the city has never issued a city council member a city email address, which is something that when I was elected a council member, I talked to the mayor, and I tried to encourage at that time for city to issue city council members, elected officials, an actual email from the city so the records can be kept at the city level. As you can see, that didn't go anywhere. It's something that I firmly believe in. I'm happy to say that Title II is being changed and city council will have city address, email address moving forward. And my email is, the city for some reason continues to email me my work email, yleclaire@gci.com. And my email that I use for the city is yleclaire1@gmail.com. So yes, public records, the clerk has all the communication. As a city council member, all our communication is filtered through the city clerk. There's information that goes to the mayor from council for him to distribute for the city manager. So the information is available, and you're more than welcome to visit the city clerk. There's a couple people that have already done so, and also the city attorney has access to the email, and he's able to give you access and print all the emails that you wish to see at any time from any city employee or city council member. Everything that we do is public record, and that includes every department in the city, not just city council.
Thank you. And thank you so much to everyone who contributed questions at home and in the live audience. We really appreciate it. The candidates for seat B will now have a chance to make their closing statements. This is your chance to share any final thoughts with the voters before they head to the polls on Tuesday. You will each have 2 minutes, and Councillor LeClaire, you are up first.
Yes, thank you, Analaska, and once again, I'm coming before you as your seated council. I'm asking to be reelected as your city council to continue to be that voice, and I'm not asking as the seated council this time. I'm asking for the mother, the daughter, the sister, the friend, and the woman that has been sitting for 3 years in that council seat, voicing out your concerns, taking those hard questions to administration. Sometimes, and if you have been watching the council meeting, you can see sometimes that I have spoken. I have asked the tough questions, and I have faced the heat. To me, a true understanding of an actual true leader, someone that stands unbiased, someone that sits neutral and looks at both sides before making a decision. Leadership, as I stated, leadership is not based on what you say, it's based on the things that you do for your community. I spend 100% of my time in the community, whether it's at the PCR, whether it's coaching, whether it's teaching, whether it's hosting different events. I give 100% at everything that I do. As an ongoing council member, I believe that it is our responsibility to work together with industry to better equip our youth and mentor leaders moving forward, establish those foundations that we need. We need to continue to talk about housing. We need to continue to talk about a preferential use agreement. We have a $40 billion current ongoing project, and we need to secure revenue. Why not give a preferential agreement to a company that has been here 35 years, that houses and hires 170 employees that has been here? Why not give equal rights and equal power to the fire chief and the police department chief? Why not? And if I am wrong to stand up and ask for equal treatment and equal separation, that both department are treated equally and have equal balance, that I stand and I will continue to move forward. And I've always stated that no one can take away who you are or devastate your character. There's been a lot of hearsay about what the things that we have done wrong. But I do remind council that we have done a lot of different things for this community. We continue Councilor to LeClaire, be your voice in your in our community. And I thank you for your time.
Thank you. Mr. Triani.
I just ask that you go out and vote for the person that you think that will best represent the community, and have the community interests at heart. You know, the last year or last 6 months, what's gone on in the city council is unacceptable to this community. And I just ask that you go out and vote for the person that you think would best represent this community. Thank you.
Thank you. And Mr. Fitch.
Yes, once again, I want to thank Channel 8 for holding this forum. And on Tuesday, you have a chance to vote. And I think you need to look down into your heart and vote for the person who meets your needs and your desires for the advancement of our community, for all the things that we stand for and all the things that we need here. Just if you vote for the person that you feel will represent you the most, then we'll come to an agreement on that, and then everybody else should support that person who wins. Thank you.